Today I want to talk about loving God with all your heart. One day I was reading about Joseph in the book of Genesis. I was particularly reading about an incident while he was the chief administrator in Potiphar's household. This incident is recorded in chapter 39 of Genesis. When you read that chapter about Joseph and his life in the household of Potiphar, you come to a place where it is written that Joseph was a well-built and handsome young man, and his master's wife really liked him. She wanted to have sex with him, but Joseph refused to sleep with her. He knew he should not sleep with someone who is not his wife. He knew it was a sin. This is recorded in verse 9. She kept putting pressure on Joseph day after day, but he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. This is in verse 10. What we see here is Joseph not only realized it was sin to sleep with someone who was not his wife, but he also tried to stay away from that person that was regularly tempting him. Joseph lived in a time before the law was given. In other words, he was not under the law. If he was not under the law, then I would say he was under grace. What intrigued me is that Joseph not only knew adultery was a sin, but also resolved not to commit adultery. Even though he was not under the law, even though there was no written law against adultery at that time, Joseph did not give in to temptation. What helped him to keep himself from sexual immorality? Understanding this is important because we too are not under the law, but under grace. We can learn something from Joseph's life because he lived under grace. I have come across several teachings where teachers wrongly interpret passages in Romans and Galatians to mean that there was no sin until the law came. Is this an accurate interpretation? No, it's not. If there was no sin before the law, how did Adam sin? If there was no sin before the law was given, how could God tell Cain, "Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." I'm reading from Genesis 4:7. So we should not wrongly interpret scriptures to say something that the scriptures do not say. For example, what Galatians 3:19 says is the law was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. In other words, one of the functions of the law was to show where and how people were sinning. Many teachers wrongly teach that grace came with Jesus. The Gospel of John 1:17 teaches both grace and truth came through Jesus. Some teachers give a lot of emphasis to the word "came" in that particular verse. This is John 1:17. To say that there was no grace before Jesus came. If this interpretation is correct, then there was no truth before Jesus came, because the same verse says both grace and truth came through Christ. God is truth. We all know that. And His Word also is truth. Both God and His Word was in this world before Jesus came to this earth. How did Noah find grace if there was no grace earlier? Some present the God of the Old Testament as a cruel taskmaster. They say the law was the old way, etc. They say the law was given, but grace came. And they give much stress to the fact that law was given, but grace came. They further conclude that since grace came through Jesus, there was no grace before Jesus came to this earth. They totally forget that truth also came through Jesus. Does that mean there was no truth before Jesus came? Since both grace and truth was there from the beginning, what is John 1:17 actually saying? If we will read this verse in the context, we will get a better understanding of the truth revealed here. Verse 14 of John 1 says, "Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw His glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth. who came from the Father. The fullness of grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Then verse 15 says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. From the fullness of who Jesus is. Jesus is the full expression. Jesus is the full expression of God's grace and truth. Because of Jesus, or through Jesus, we have received grace in place of grace already given. That is what this verse is saying. In other words, in Jesus we have a full realization or a full revelation of the grace of God and also the truth of God. Now let's go back to Joseph. He was not under the law, but he was under grace. God's promise to his father, Abraham, was not based on the law, but on grace. We read that in both Romans and Galatians. So this Joseph was in Egypt. He was in the household of Potiphar. And we read that his wife really liked Joseph. Joseph was well-built and handsome, and any woman would have desired him. But Joseph, being a righteous person, refused to sin. While responding to Potiphar's wife, Joseph says something very important, and I think we should understand this since we also are not under law but under grace. Number one, Joseph did not refuse to sin because of the fear of the law. He did not refuse because he was afraid of the consequences. There was one thing in his heart that helped him to resist the temptation, and this is recorded in Genesis 39, verse 9. He said, now, how could I do this great wickedness and sin against my God? This is what he told Potiphar's wife. How could I sin against my God? You're asking me to sin against my God, and I cannot do that. I don't want to do that. He loved his God. He loved the God of his father, Jacob, Isaac, and Abraham. He had a reverence for that God. It is also called the fear of God. Brothers and sisters, fear of God is a good thing. It is the beginning of wisdom, the Bible says in Psalms 111, verse 10. And the fear of God is the beginning of true knowledge. This is in Proverbs 1:7. His love and respect for God stopped him from sinning against God. Please do not forget that he was not living under the law. He was under grace. I do not mean to say that Joseph never sinned at all. What I am saying is this passage tells us why Joseph did not sin in this particular case. Joseph's father, Jacob, once made a remarkable statement while talking to Laban, his father-in-law, in Genesis chapter 31. After reminding him in verse 41 that he worked for his father-in-law 14 years to win his two daughters, and then another 6 years for his flocks, he reminds him that Laban, his father-in-law, changed his wages 10 times. And then in verse 42 of this chapter, Jacob says that, if the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had not been with me, you would have sent me away empty-handed by now. God has seen my misery and hard work, and last night he made it right. Jacob referred to God as the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac, or the one Isaac feared. Since all scriptures are Holy Spirit inspired, there has to be a reason why Jacob referred to his God as the fear of Jacob, or the one Isaac feared and worshipped. I believe Holy Spirit wanted to draw our attention to the fear or reverence aspect. Love for God and fear for God and worship are all connected. Grace is not the license to sin. Grace is a supernatural power that helps you to stay away from sin. So the conclusion of the matter is that if you truly love God, we will have a reverential fear for our God. Abraham, known as God's friend, displayed much boldness while conversing with God. Yet, you can see his reverence for God in what he said and how he said. The scriptures tell us that David was a man after God's own heart. He was very loyal to God. He pleased God in the things he did. There was certainly a breach in his loyalty when he committed adultery and then had that woman's husband murdered. However, when he realized his sin, he confessed to God his sin, saying, "I have sinned against you." So how do we apply this truth in our lives? God desires that we love him with all our heart. Love is something to be practiced. Love for God is accompanied by reverence for him. No matter how close you get to God, you never lose that reverence. You cannot separate reverence for God from love for God. Therefore, let us remember, in true love, there is true reverence for the one you love. I mean, the God who loved us so much. If you truly love God, you will have a reverence for him, and that reverence for God can and will stop you from sinning. God bless you.